Take the U.S. economy in the winter, then the spring, and divide by two. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The economic forecasts are full of the word rebound today after consumers spent quite briskly in April. The news is that consumer spending rose by 0.4%, an outcome driven by people getting paid a little more during that month. But this requires some perspective, and for that we turn to Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we see today consumer spending up 0.4% in April. That's running at the highest pace in about 4 months or so. So it looks like the big middle of 2017 rebound is happening.
Well, let's kind of slow it down maybe a little bit there. We knew that there were some statistical problems with the first quarter that made it look artificially slow, and now we're kind of normalizing. I think we want to take these two together as a whole, and the underlying trend of the economy is still pretty decent, but I would not say that we are off to the races.
Right, or falling off any kind of cliff. Also, in the data today, we see that inflation is running low, which is great for you and me.
Yeah.
But it presents a problem if you're trying to figure out where interest rates should be in America.
Yes, it's a bit of a conundrum for the Fed, which is set to raise rates probably in a couple of weeks, and will probably do so, but they are faced with a confusing mix of economic data that's okay, but inflation that's slowing down when they want it to actually pick back up to 2%. So they're going to have to kind of wrestle with that at the next meeting.
Right. And it may come to bear, perhaps not on the decision in June, where rates will likely go up, but perhaps later in the year as they try to figure out what to do after that.
Perhaps later in the year, it may give them pause. Yeah.
All right. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
British Airways today says its computers are fixed and it's back to running all of its flights. You may have heard about the mess over the weekend at London's Heathrow Airport and beyond. 75,000 people were stranded. Stock in the parent company, International Airlines Group, was down about 2.4% in early trading. The White House is working on rolling back a closely watched piece of the Obama-era health care law. Officials have now drawn up a rule that would exempt many religious employers from providing birth control coverage. Marketplace's Rima Krace has more.
President Donald Trump is looking to appease some religious employers like churches and nonprofits. Earlier this month, he said they should not be bullied by the federal government because of their beliefs. This new rule would relax a mandate passed under President Obama about 5 years ago. It requires employers to provide free birth control coverage or notify the government or their insurer if they plan not to. Caroline Mortensen teaches health management and policy at the University of Miami. She notes that this issue has already been before the Supreme Court.
And we still now have some employers that are exempt and some employers that are not exempt. And some types of birth control seem to be okay, and some types of birth control don't seem to be okay. So that's sort of where we stand with uncertainty as to what exactly will be included in this final rule.
And if it does go into effect, she says the rule will then be open to the public for revisions. It would also most certainly face legal and political backlash. Senate Democrats note that in 2013 alone, women saved more than $1 billion in out-of-pocket costs for birth control.
Marketplace's Rima Krace, thank you. Hi, David Brancaccio stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. It is the final week of fundraising before our books close for the year. We're asking you to step up and help support us today so that we can continue the in-depth, independent economic coverage and innovation coverage and business coverage that you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month, really does count. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate. It's hard to keep top administrators at public schools where there are a lot of low-income students. Research show that over a quarter of those schools lose their principals every year, and that turnover is costly and hurts students. But listen to the story of this principal at Furr High School in Houston. The person's been on the job for 17 years, on top of a lot of other life experience. Laura Eisensee with Houston Public Media has our story.
Let me introduce you to Birdie Simmons. She's 5 feet tall, she wears thick-rimmed glasses and a white bob, and she just turned 83 years old.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
So what's going on?
Horrible. I've had a horrible week.
This morning, Simmons meets with a mom, Jasmine Rodriguez, and her son, Alex. He's failing and talks back a lot.
Could you have passing grades? What if I got you a mentor?
This is how Simmons spends a lot of her day. She sees a stream of people. Simmons came out of retirement to lead FIR in 2000. Back then, gangs brought violence to the school. There was a stabbing and a huge gang fight. Barely half the kids graduated. Simmons thought she'd last 3 months. 17 years later, she's still here, and the graduation rate is now more than 90%.
I think I'm a little cray-cray. I mean, I'm determined that these kids are going to have a chance.
Last fall, her school won $10 million from the XQ Institute, a nonprofit led by Laureen Powell Jobs, Steve Jobs' widow. Simmons will use the money to make learning more personal and hands-on for kids over the next 5 years. Money definitely helps schools try new things. But as Laura Hamilton with RAND Education says, success is almost impossible without a strong principal.
You don't just need skilled teachers. You need a school leader who is able to provide those supports and also to sort of provide a vision for the school to help them all be on the same page about what we're trying to do with this program.
Even with all her experience, Simmons still questions whether she's doing enough.
That I care enough, that I've done something differently. And I don't want to sound mushy, but I'm just being honest.
She says that concern keeps her going, even in her 80s. In Houston, I'm Laura Eisensee for Marketplace.
Now, in early April, the president of the World Bank met with the first daughter, Ivanka Trump. Now, the World Bank is informally advising President Trump on future infrastructure spending. This is notable because Mr. Trump had threatened to cut funding for the World Bank. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.